If you have your Bibles, please turn them with me to Luke chapter 22. That'll be our lesson text for this morning. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 54. And they seized him and led him away and brought him into the high priest's house. But Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the court and had sat down together, Peter sat in the midst of them. And a certain maid, seeing him as he sat in the light of the fire and looking steadfastly upon him, said, "This man also was with him." But he denied, saying, "Woman, I know him not." And after a little while, another saw him and said, "Thou art also one of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." And after the space of about 1 hour, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Of a truth, this man also was with him, for he is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately, while he spake, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, and how that he said unto him, "Before the rooster crows this day, thou shalt deny me 3 times. And he went out and wept bitterly. I would imagine if you had been living back in the day that the Apostle Peter was living, and we had the opportunity to go up to him in his latter years and ask him the question, "Peter, could you tell us some of the outstanding events that occurred during your life as you walked and talked and had contact with the Son of God?" And I am confident that the Apostle Peter would say, "Well, let me tell you, one of the greatest events that occurred in my life is when the Lord selected me to be one of the special 12 disciples." And if you turn your Bibles over to Matthew chapter 10, you will find that Peter's name is identified as being one that the Lord selected. And I am confident that the Apostle Peter would tell us that this was one of the outstanding events in my life, just to be able to say that Jesus Christ selected me to be one of the chosen 12. And I believe also that the Apostle Peter would say, "Let me tell you of another outstanding event in the life of Jesus Christ. There was a time that Jesus came into my house and healed my mother-in-law." And we could find that occurrence happening in Mark chapter 1, verses 29 through 30, where Jesus went into the house and took her by the hand and healed her. And I would imagine the Apostle Peter would say, "Let me tell you of the time that Jesus Christ came into my house and healed my mother-in-law." And then I would imagine that the Apostle Peter would say, "Let me tell you, I was standing there on the day that Jesus Christ said to me, 'I will build my church.'" He asked the question, "Whom do men say that I am?" Of course, some said you're John the Baptist, some say you're Jeremiah, some say you're Elijah or some other prophet. And he turned to Peter and he said, "Who do you say that I am?" And the Apostle Peter said, "Thou art Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God." And upon that occasion, after he had confessed Jesus Christ as the Son of God, Jesus said, "I will build my church." And Peter would say, "I was there. I was there when Jesus told me that." And that ranked up as one of the greatest events that happened in the life of the Apostle Peter. And then there's no doubt in my mind that he would say, that the Apostle Peter would say, "You know what the Lord said to me? The Lord said that I'm going to give you, Peter, the keys of the kingdom of heaven." And you know, on that day of Pentecost, Peter stood there. He said, "I stood there and used the keys of the kingdom of heaven when men and women shouted and asked, pierced to their hearts, say, 'What do we need to do?'" And Peter would tell them, "Well, you need to repent and be baptized." And I want to tell you, when Jesus said, "I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven," that Peter was allowed to use the keys of the kingdom on the day of Pentecost, as we can read in Acts chapter 2. All of these events, all of these great things could be identified as great events in the life of the Apostle Peter. and the contact that he had with our Lord. But you know, there was a very dark moment, however, in the life of the Apostle Peter. And we just read that. And I would imagine if we were to ask Peter that exact same question, Peter, do you recall any events in your life that you're not so proud of? As a matter of fact, that you're ashamed of? Are there any of those events in your life that you can relate to us, that we can learn from? And I'm sure the Apostle Peter would stand up and say, you know, there were some times, there were some things that I said, there were some things that I did that I'm not too happy with. Matter of fact, I'm ashamed of some of the things that I did. I remember the time when the Lord told me that I was going to deny him 3 times. And Peter said, no, Lord, I won't do it. Others may deny you and leave you, but I never will. And after the fact, again in Luke chapter 22, as we read, after he said it, he remembered, after he heard the rooster crow, he said, I remember exactly what he had done. I remember exactly what I did. I remember that the Lord told me, he said, Peter, I say unto you that when you hear the rooster crow 3 times, and you're going to look at me eye to eye, and you're going to realize what you've done. And I'm sure Peter would say, you know, that was a very dark day in my life. And I want to tell you something, that the Apostle Peter was not the only man that ever heard the rooster crow. The Apostle Peter is not the only man who ever felt that way in his heart. The Apostle Peter was not the only man who ever turned his back and denied God. Again, if you have your Bibles, I would urge you to turn back again to chapter 22 and verse 47. And in verse 47, we can see that we'll find another individual, another man who had been selected by Jesus Christ to be one of his chosen 12. And this man was by the name of Judas. Now remember, and keep in mind, that Judas walked with the Lord, that Judas talked with Jesus, that Judas heard the Son of God preach, that Judas saw Jesus perform miracles, and yet Judas sold out the Son of the Living God for 30 lousy pieces of silver. And let me tell you, my friends and brethren, Judas heard the rooster crow. He knew that he had violated God's law. But you know, Judas is not the only person who heard the rooster crow. One of the greatest individuals in the Old Testament that we can read of, one of the great lawyers that ever lived, by the name of David. One of the greatest warriors who ever lived, a man who was selected to be king of Israel, a man who went up against the giant and killed the giant. On one occasion, who was said of him that he was a man after God's own heart. And in 2 Samuel chapter 11, again, if you have your Bibles there, 2 Samuel chapter 11, we will find that David saw this beautiful woman bathing in the nude. She was on top of him. And David had things on his mind. He was out on his rooftop, and he was thinking about other battles going on, and he had the cares of the physical kingdom at hand. And he looked down and he saw Bathsheba. And he saw this woman, and lust was conceived in his heart. And at that time, the king could have anything he wanted, so he summoned her to come. And, of course, he laid with her. She was found to be with child. So later on, Bathsheba approached him and told David that she was with child. And he began to connive and to scheme and try to find a way to get out of it. Remember the story? And he intended, so he decided these things, and he was getting nervous, and he just didn't know what to do, so he decided to call her husband back, Uriah, from the battlefield. A member of his army, David's army, he called him back. And he intended for him to lie with his wife to think that it was his, that the child was his. And of course, Uriah wouldn't do that, and David tried to get him drunk, and he still wouldn't do it. So what had happened is that David finally gave Uriah orders of his own fate to give to his field commanders back at the battlegrounds. And what those orders essentially stated was that in the heat of battle, when you rise up to the front, you pull back. And when that happens, of course it happened, and Uriah was killed. And I want to tell you something. David was guilty of adultery. David was guilty of drunkenness. David was guilty of lying. And David was guilty of killing that man. And I want to tell you that David heard the rooster crow just as much as the Apostle Peter did. I want to ask us the question. I'll ask you the question. Have we ever heard the rooster crow? Have you ever had that feeling when you've done something wrong, and so we say to ourselves, why in the world did I do that? Let me tell you, my friends, that's hearing the rooster crow. When you've said something or done something that you know you shouldn't have done, and we've done something and the heartstrings are pulled, and you feel that emptiness in your stomach, that is hearing the rooster crow. Many times when I've left things undone that I should have done, many times when I should have went over and visited somebody or should have done something for somebody that I didn't do, I get that awful feeling. That's hearing the rooster crow. Or when you've done something, when you've sinned or so on, and knowing that you violated God's law and you turn your back on God, and hopefully your conscience has not been seared to the point where you still can feel that pulling of the heart, that is hearing the rooster crow. Have you ever heard the rooster crow? I watch some of my brethren, and I'm sure I tell no one any secrets this, that some seem to be more holier than thou. Solomon says, don't be righteous over much. Why destroy yourself before your time? And they walk around and they think that they've never heard the rooster crow. That's wrong. That's a wrong attitude to have. And we need to dismiss that attitude from our lives. Young men and young ladies, have you ever heard the rooster crow? Have you ever had that guilty feeling within your heart that you knew that you violated God's law? And then when something has happened and your conscience begins to pull at you, it begins to gnaw at you, that is hearing the rooster crow. Have you ever heard him crow? Romans chapter 3, verse 23 tells us that all have sinned. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. Any honest person will tell you that he or she has heard the rooster crow. And there's another lesson that I want us to learn. I want us to notice what the Apostle Peter did after he heard the rooster crow. Later on in his life, Peter wrote a book. And in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, he wrote this letter, and he's telling us how deceptive, how powerful the devil is. Please open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, a verse that I'm sure is extremely familiar to all of us. After the Apostle Peter heard that rooster crow and he knew that he violated God's law, he wrote us a letter and he said this. He said, be sober, be watchful, your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. We went to the zoo the other day, about a couple weeks ago, and for some reason, and we were some distance away from the lion's den, and that lion roared. And you know what the crowd did? The people on the grounds of the zoo did? They just stopped. And that's what a lion does. When a lion's about to pounce and to get his prey, he'll roar, and that just freezes his prey. And that gives him just that opportunity, and that's all that lion needs to pounce. And so we have to remember that. Peter said, I want to tell you something, is that our adversary, he's powerful. And he's deceptive. And if you're not careful, he will devour you. You know, when the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and again in verse 11, he talked about we're not ignorant, or shouldn't be. We should not be ignorant of Satan, of the devil's devices. And we realize he can transform his likeness into an angel of light. And I sometimes wonder in our generation, some of the things that go on in on the TV and in society in general, that how much influence the devil can have in our lives. We have to be careful, because that lion's out there and he will devour us. We got men and women today who think the devil could never destroy them. Do you know any? I do. I know some. And perhaps there have been times when I skated on that thin plate of ice too, but I've walked the razor's edge. And I'm sure we all have. And it's just like driving down the road, down a two-lane highway, doing 90 miles an hour, and you want to get as close to that divided yellow line as you can. You want to get as close to that yellow or that white line as you can. And it's not going to be long until I can pick up the paper and look in the obituary column, and I'm going to see your name there. Because you want to get as close to that yellow line or that white line that you want. It's not going to be long until you get as closer and closer until you cross over that line, and something's going to happen. That lion is going to devour you. The devil's going to devour you. And there's been many a good person, many a good man, many a good woman who you thought who were quote-unquote pillars in the church, who thought they would never fall, who wanted to get as close to the lion, as close to the devil as possible, as close to that lion as they could possibly get. And many souls have been lost as a result. The devil will take as many souls with him to hell as he possibly can. That's his job. That's all he's got left. That includes me and that includes you. No one's exempt from being drawn away by our own lusts and enticed. I doubt if we realize just how powerful the influences of the devil are. After the Apostle Peter heard that rooster crow later on in his life, he wrote this letter, 1 and 2 Peter. And he's telling us, he says, watch out. He says, be sober. Don't mess around with the evil one. Just don't do it. You want to be happy? Don't do it. You can learn a lesson one of two ways. The hard way is to do it yourself and learn from the consequences, or you can look around, talk to other people. Chances are, if they've made it out of that situation, talk to them, and you're going to get a horror story. I've tried that. I've tried drugs. I've tried alcohol. I've tried this. I've tried that. And after a while, after I woke up, I lost my family. I lost my job. I lost everything that I've had. Yeah, this is what it's going to cost you. That devil, suppose the devil tapped you on the shoulder before he did all this and says, you know, Kevin, if you do this, this is what it's going to cost you. Do you think you would have done anything like that? Do you think you would have engaged in any kind of sin like that? I tell you, if the devil tapped me on the shoulder and says, Kevin, if you do this, this is what it's going to cost you. Do you think I would have gone through with that? No. But you know, the devil's not like that, is he? He's very cunning. He's very, very patient. He's very deliberate. And it's best for us not even to get involved with that, as the apostle said. And I want to notice what the Apostle Peter did after he heard that rooster crow. And we talked about that in 1 Peter chapter 5. So we can just see how difficult sometimes life can be. You know, the world is going out of business. Peter wrote about that. He said there's not going to be anything left in a while. It's going to be burned up. It's just not going to be around any longer. And friends and brethren, if you don't get anything out of this lesson, I hope that you would ever remember 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. And may you always remember all the days of your life, the devil is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Now when the Apostle Peter heard that rooster crow, he wrote us that letter. And he understood exactly how deceptive and how powerful the devil can have. How much influence he can have in your life. Now, if the Apostle Peter denied him, if Judas sold him out for 30 pieces of silver, and if David could commit adultery, what makes us think that we're immune to the devil? What makes us think that we can just go by and not even be harassed by him? In Luke, again, chapter 22, in our lesson text this morning, When he denied Jesus Christ, he not only heard the rooster crow, but he realized just how much power Satan had over men and women. And the third lesson that I want us to know this morning is the attitude one has after he or she hears the rooster crow. Probably have said and heard this before, and I'm a firm believer that the Word of God is active and living, and we ought to repeat things all the time. One of the professors I had says, you know, I'm going to teach it to you once, and then how you're going to learn this thing is repetition, 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 repetition. That's what it's all about. That's what we need to do. That's what we need to do with the Word of God. Makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? It sure does. And Peter said in verse 61 of Luke chapter 22, he says, you know, he remembered. After he denied and Jesus looked up at him, Peter said that he remembered what the Lord had told him. And it's just too bad that Peter had to wait that long. It's just too bad. And that's too bad people are like that. And in verse 62, Peter went out and wept bitterly. He realized what he had said. Can you imagine the Son of God looking up at you after you had denied him openly three times? And he looks up at you and you have eye contact with him? Can you imagine how Peter felt? I can't. Here's a guy. Here's a man that said, I will never, ever deny you. As a matter of fact, it wasn't that long ago, that long before this very event happened that he was ready to die for Jesus. Remember when they came in and he took out a sword, he lopped off the servant of the high priest's ear? Or the ear of the high priest? The servant of the high priest. Remember that? He was ready to go. And Jesus said, put it away, Peter. That's not how we're going to do things at this point. That's not what I came here to do. And I believe what else was involved in that weeping when Peter went out and wept bitterly was repentance. How in the world could you go out and weep as bitterly as Peter did if you didn't have true repentance? And again, Paul talks about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9, where it's godly sorrow. Repentance unto godly sorrow. You know, Peter didn't say, you know, he didn't parade around and act like he was proud of what he did. He didn't say, I was proud to do this, that, the other, after he had denied Jesus three times. What did he do? He went out and wept bitterly. What did Jesus do? What did Judas do about it? Look at the contrast in Matthew chapter 27. A great contrast between Judas and Peter. He didn't repent. Judas didn't repent after selling out the Son of God for 30 pieces of silver. He didn't repent. What did Judas do? He threw in the towel, didn't he? He said, I'm going to take the path of least resistance. I'm not going to face the Son of Man. I don't want to face the ridicule. I don't want to be told I'm a traitor. What did Judas do? He went out and hanged himself. What a contrast. What did David do? Turn back again in 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 13. When Nathan the prophet came up to him, what did David say? 2 Samuel chapter 12 verse 13. Three words. I have sinned. David had to live for that with months. He had to live with being responsible for the death of Uriah, Bathsheba's husband. He had to live with that. Can you imagine? His bones, as he said, just dried up. And if you have time in your privacy of your own study, Psalm chapter 51 talks about what David went through. He said, my sin is between me and God. He said, just wash me. Just cleanse me. Just please don't remember this anymore. So when the Apostle Peter heard the rooster crow, he wept bitterly. When David heard the rooster crow, he just simply said, I have sinned. They didn't blame anybody else. They didn't blame mama and daddy. They didn't blame society. We're talking personal responsibility here. Personal responsibility and how important that is for all of us to have. And as Christians, we need to have it. Don't start pointing the finger at everybody else until it starts with you first. You see what you can do to make the situation better. And don't start spreading rumors and lies and so on, and because that's we're taught not to do that. We're not supposed to do that. But Judas went out and took his own life. What a contrast. But there's yet another lesson that I want us to look at, and that's the attitude of Christ after Peter denied him three times. When Peter should have said, "I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. That is an honorable estate." But you know, he didn't. And he denied him openly three times. And other than in Luke chapter 22, if you look at other Gospels, you can see that he just didn't say, I don't know him. He didn't casually just say no. What did Peter do? He swore. He said, "I don't know the man." And he swore. And he carried on. And he said, "I don't want anything to do with him. No, I don't know him." But you know, that's not the only time the Apostle Peter got into trouble, remember? Back in Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus called him Satan, says, "Get behind me, Satan. Get out of here." And when he said in Matthew chapter 15 to Peter again, he says, "Thou of little faith." And again, of course, in Luke chapter 22, he says, when he denied him three times, I want to know what the attitude of Jesus was. If you've got your Bibles, turn over to John chapter 21. And you know, every time I read this, I just kind of tremble. John chapter 21, verse 15. Says, "So when they had broken their fast, Jesus said unto Simon Peter," and this perhaps was probably one of the first times that Jesus and Peter got together. And can you imagine the butterflies and how nervous Peter must have been? Peter knew what he did. "And Jesus said unto Peter, son of John, lovest thou more than these? And he said unto him, Yea, Lord, you know that I love you." Wait a minute, Jesus. Don't you know what he just did? Can you imagine if Peter stood up here in front of the brethren, would some of the brethren's take would be on this? "Well, come on, Jesus. The guy doesn't have any integrity. The guy denied you openly three times. It's a person that you said himself was Satan. And you said he's ye of little faith. What are you doing forgiving him?" Jesus forgave him. Remember what Peter did? He went out and wept bitterly. And part of that, I believe, is true repentance on his part. When Peter made his life right with God, Jesus forgave him. We need to do the same thing. Don't play around with that. Why do we think that God's not the same God? What did God do, David? What did God do? Again, 2 Samuel. Second Samuel chapter 12. What did God do, David? What was the attitude of God when you sinned and was worthy of death? Verse 13. "Jehovah also hath put away your sin." What do we think? Well, we think he's not the same God? When you sin and you repent, what are we supposed to do? That's what we're supposed to do. I don't even have to say it. Remember it no more. Put it away. It's put away. If you've repented, it's done. It's over. Going back to John chapter 21, verse 15, when Jesus said, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter says, "You know I love you, Lord." What did Jesus say? What did he say? Said, "Feed my lambs." Jesus, this is the same guy that just denied you openly three times. Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." And this was the very person, the Apostle Peter, who opened the keys of the kingdom on the day of Pentecost. The very man who went out and preached the first gospel sermon to the lost and dying community in Jerusalem, who were guilty of all manner of sin. You can just imagine. And not only that, look at 1 Corinthians. When the Apostle Paul, they were guilty of everything under the sun that you could probably think of. And what did God do with them, Paul? Well, turn your Bibles over to 2 Corinthians, the book of 2 Corinthians, and you read it. They made their lives right with God, and God put away their sin. I thank God that I'm not going to be judged in the day of judgment by my fellow man. And I thank God even more that I'm not going to be judged by my brethren. And I'm going to be judged by the God of heaven, who is a true and just God. And that's the way it should be. Jesus says, you forgive. If you want to be forgiven, then you forgive first. It starts with you. Remember that first responsibility that we talked about? It starts with me first. If my brethren have sinned, and they put away that sin, and God, and if that person conformed his or her life to what the Bible says and what God wants you to do, it's over. You remember that no more. And that's what we need to do. There's a lot of wisdom in that. God knew what he was talking about, and Jesus knew what he was talking about when he says, you want to be forgiven? You forgive your fellow man. You forgive your brethren who sinned against you. This is nothing. Look at what the nation of Israel did. Look at history. Look at what they did. Just read the Old Testament. Look at it. That's nothing. We need to forgive our brethren. And drop down to verse 16, getting back to John chapter 21. Again, looking at the attitude of Jesus. Chapter 21, verse 16, he's asked Peter the second time, do you love me, Peter? And he asked him the third time, verse 17, do you love me, Peter? Feed my lambs, tend to my sheep. That's the attitude that we need to have. Nowhere in the Bible do I read of a situation where God does not will or want to forgive a person who truly repents of his or her sin. After that person conforms and makes it right, it's a done deal. It's a done deal. Very important for us to know. Have we ever heard the rooster crow? I think we all have. If we're honest and sincere, we're going to say, yeah, we all have. But you know, you talk about the amazing grace of God. When he forgave Peter and when he forgave David of those sins, that, my friends, is the grace of God. And he made it possible for us to access those spiritual blessings through his son, Jesus. Shame on you if you don't take advantage of that. The horror story in this whole thing is if we realize we've all sinned. Now, brethren, that's just the way it is. There's nothing I can do to change that. But you know, we need to live by and learn of the things that we've done. Because as the old saying goes, if you don't learn from history, you're doomed to repeat it. We need to repent and make our lives right with God. That's it. There's really nothing else more I can do. You know, I got up here for 15, 20 minutes. I'm just not up here just saying stuff. I'm talking business. This is what it's about. I'm talking business here. Jesus died for you and me. I don't understand that. I just have to accept it. Baptism. No, man cannot justify baptism. I can't either. All I know is it's a sign of obedience. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. It's simple. Why do we want to haggle and carry on over such a simple aspect? Look at all the great things that Jesus and God did for us. Look at these things and accept them and appreciate it on a simple faith. If your life's not in harmony with God's word, you need to make it right. Again, there's just so much we can do. That first responsibility starts with you. You have to do something about it. It's up to you. You have every right to go to hell just like you have every right to go to heaven when the time comes. And God will be there. You will not be disappointed in the end as long as you conform with the Word and what He has to say in it. If you have anything that needs to be done or said, please come forward as we stand and sing.